Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for the touch of the Holy Ghost that we feel. I know sometimes that it's kind of, we're so used to everything fast. But some of you that grew up going to youth camps and youth conferences years ago that I didn't have privilege going, you can remember those days when the spirit of conviction would sit in a room. And last night, like I said, if y'all wasn't here, we had a high time last night. It was lighthearted last night. We laughed. We danced. Some of us did. And we shouted. And I mean, it was a high time. But I have to obey what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. I prayed before service tonight that God would not let me approach this pulpit without a tear. And the Lord visited with me before service. And then he visited with me again during this worship service tonight. Mark chapter 8 and the 23rd verse. Certainly give honor to all of the ministry tonight. We love the ministry. Mark chapter 8 verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Verse 24, he said, I see men as trees. Judges the 9th chapter and the 8th verse. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me to be king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Shall we pray tonight? Jesus, God, we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that I feel tonight. I pray that you open every heart, open every ear, God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for what you have already doing, God. I don't know what you're doing. We thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God bless you in Jesus' name. I feel a burden on my heart for the lost. And I pray, church, if you could bind together with me in the spirit. Because I really do believe that God wants to change somebody's life tonight. Some of you precious saints of God can look around and you see people that need the Holy Ghost. You see people that do not have the privilege of enjoying the life that you get to enjoy. And so I'm going to preach tonight by the help of the Holy Ghost what I feel in my heart. Ever since the fall of man in the garden, humanity has been searching for something. Since the fall of man, humanity has been looking for something that they can invest their confidence in. People are looking for a refuge from the storms of life. They are seeking for a shelter and they are looking for security. Our world today is also looking for direction. They are looking for something or someone to lead and guide them. And whether we like to admit it or not, people are looking for someone or something that they can submit to. Everyone in this world is submitted to something. Everyone in this world is governed by something. Everyone in this world places their trust and their confidence in something. Whether it be a job, a political figure, money, status, or some of the more obvious sins found in the Word of God, people are really looking for a king. They are looking for a king. Even the children of Israel, when God was their ruler, when He was their shelter, when God was their guide, they still asked for a king. They weren't satisfied in placing their confidence in God. And so in 1 Samuel 8 and 5, they said to the man of God, "Make us a king to judge us like all of the other nations." They wanted a king so they could be just like everybody else. Now, church, I'm not going to preach all to you tonight. You just bear with me while I build a little bit of a foundation. They wanted a king so they could be just like everybody else. And we still see that same spirit and attitude in the house of God tonight, where we want to be just like everybody. Don't let us be so different that people take notice of us and they mark us as being a little bit different. Well, I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad that, like that old songbook says, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. But they wanted a king that they could submit to. Submission is something that the church world doesn't want to deal with, but the world lives there every single day that they live. The church world don't want to deal with this topic of submission, but the world is governed by it tonight. They are submitted to something. They are submitted to something. It may be a job. It may be a financial thing. It may be a sin. It may be a lifestyle. It may be a song. It may be a singer. It may be a movie star. It may be a rap star. It may be a sports player, but you better believe they're submitted to something. Everybody in this room is submitted to something. Oh, yes, we are. Oh, yeah, everybody in this room is submitted to something. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so the children of Israel wanted a king so they could be just like everybody else. And so you remember the story, how the Lord let them have their way. And He told Samuel, God told Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Oh, yeah. And in so many words, Samuel let them know that they would live to see the day that they would regret this decision by making something else or somebody else a king over them besides Jehovah God. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 18, He said, "You shall cry out in that day because of the king which ye have chosen." But nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of the man of God. And they said, "Nay, but we will have a king to rule over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." They wanted to put their trust and their confidence in a king. They wanted to find security in a king. They wanted a king to govern them. They wanted a king they could submit to. And so it was in Jotham's parable that we read in Judges chapter 9. The trees went forth to anoint a king over them. They went to the olive tree, but the olive tree refused. They went to the fig tree, but the fig tree refused. They went to the vine, but the vine refused. And so finally, after all of that, don't tell me there are people that are not searching for something they can submit their life to. You better believe they're going to this, looking for something they can bow down before. They're going to that, looking for something they can bow down. You know I'm telling the truth. I know what I'm talking about, because before God found me, when I was out there in that world of sin,
Brother, you better believe I operated in idolatry. I had all the pictures. I had all the CDs of all of the gods that I worshipped. Oh, yes. I was submitted to a system that said if you sing the right song, you'll be promoted. If you have the right smile on your face, you'll be promoted. Oh, I was submitted to a system. But I want to tell you today that I came into a one God Jesus name, apostolic tongue talking church. Brother, something changed in my life. Oh, something transformed inside of my spirit. And I have never been the same. Thank God. Tell you what got me into Pentecost. I gave my friend's testimony last night. I'm not going to give my whole testimony tonight, but I want to tell you what got me in. It wasn't fancy production that we get so enamored by in this day. What brought me into Pentecost, it'll never fit on a screen. It'll never fit behind a video camera. No, sir. The world don't understand it unless you're broken and unless you want to repent. Oh, that's the only way that you're going to get the understanding of the Holy Ghost. But God brought me in because of a man that was raised up on an old plantation down in the Mississippi Delta that had a conviction in his heart that the way that mama and daddy raised him was right. He had an old tape from 1968. I hope I wouldn't offend nobody by saying that. Amen. The word old is lifted up in the scripture. We put it down because we have made youth and put it on a pedestal of idolatry. Amen. And well, you know what'll help Pentecost tonight? If we can fall in love with the elders and the landmark that our fathers have set and quit being so enamored with the latest, because the latest is not always the greatest, my friend. I gotta hurry up because I'm not got to my message at all. And so it was. Praise God. I had the production. I guess that may be why I don't play a whole lot. Hey, man, people play. Sing. Hey, man, and it's not that I ain't that good. I know people that really can sing and play. I know. But I want to tell you right now, I had the production. I was on cameras. I was on television. I was playing halftime of the ball games. Oh, yes, I was. Yeah, I had a record deal at 19 years old. I'd only been playing the guitar 4 years. I wasn't that good. But what made me go so far is because I had so much passion. I had so much submission to that. Yes, sir. It consumed my mind. It consumed my energy. It consumed my time. And I gave my strength to that, which is not. That's why I went so far so quick. Not because I was that talented. I wasn't talented. But how God brought me out of production. Woo! There was some saints from a bygone era. Most of them was dead and gone, but I thank God there's one or two of them still alive. And they were singing in 1968 on old tape. And they testified in between every song. Somebody had a flat top guitar. Somebody had an accordion. And brother, they testified, and I had never heard anybody testify like that. I went to the denominational church and shook the preacher's hand and got baptized in the titles after touring and playing music in front of thousands of people, thinking, well, maybe I just need to get religion. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. But oh, when I heard sanctified singing, it wasn't cute, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't fancy. There wasn't no praise singers. And I thank God for the singers we had up here tonight. The Spirit of God touched my heart in the songs they sung here tonight. But hear the burden of my heart. There was an anointing, and that old country preacher began to preach, and it was not fancy, it was not polished, it was raw, it was anointed, it was got me, it was submitted by God, and that's what got a hold of my heart. It brought me out of a life of sin and bondage, and it was that day that I said goodbye, world, goodbye. The trees, they went to the vine. They went to the olive tree. of those refused. All scripture is given for by inspiration of God and profitable. There's something in Jotham's parable. But when all of those things said, I will not be a king over you. Finally, they went unto the bramble. And verse number 14, then said all the trees to the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, then let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. A bramble here is defined as the buckthorn or the rhamnus plant, which is a shrub that produces the largest of thorns found in Palestine. One observer stated that the thorns of this plant are like dreadful spikes and are similar to darts. A bramble is a fruitless plant. A bramble is a worthless plant. In reality, it is not even to be numbered among the trees because it is nothing but a shrub of thorns. One observer stated that a bramble is a space-consuming parasite and depletes the ground and exploits the land of its strength and leaves nothing in return but waste and barrenness and severely damages the soil. As a matter of fact, before a farmer can even plow a field in Palestine, he must rid the field of those thorns by setting a fire and burning them. In the Word of God, a bramble is consistently associated with the curse of God. In Genesis chapter 3 verses 17 and 18, God said, cursed is the ground, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thorns and thistles are described as God's curse for sin. Do we still have time to preach like this in Pentecost? Or is it all, I thank God for every mountain that he's able to move. But you know what we need to do? We need to get to where the rubber meets the road and deal with the nitty gritty tonight. Hear me. I don't say this with no arrogance. God, I got a burden in my heart, Brother Crosswhite. You know who I'm reaching for? I'm reaching for those young ones that you brought on the buses tonight. If you'll allow me to operate the way that I feel, I'm going to reach with everything that I've got. I'm going to pull. I'm going to reach. I'm going to press. Because it's all about somebody else finding God. It's all about somebody else receiving the light of this gospel. A bramble is consistently associated with a curse. And yet this is what the trees had chosen to be their king. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. A curse for a king. A curse for a king. Hold on. Oh, hallelujah. Thorns and thistles are what the ground naturally produces. Thorns and thistles are symbolic of what the flesh naturally produces as well. And it's plain to see what this world puts their trust in. It's very clear that this world is submitted to sin. It's very clear and open before all of us tonight that the world is governed by iniquity. They find their security in thorns and thistles. Sin is the rule of the day. Rebellion is the trend of the time. Ungodliness is exalted to a throne, and righteousness is cast to the ground. People have chosen a curse to be their king. You better believe. You think I'm not preaching it right? You know I'm preaching it right. I don't know why some of you, amen, cannot understand what I'm saying. When we've got a world that is bound down before the altar of homosexuality and gender fluidity, they said, don't preach that, preacher. Amen. You know what a hell Pentecost in East Texas, if we had somebody with a burning compassion to open up their heart and say, let the preacher be untied. Take the strings off the man of God. Yeah, they're submitted to it, Elder Metlin. They're submitted to homosexuality. They're submitted to promiscuous living. They're submitted to crack cocaine. They're submitted to crystal meth. They're submitted to drugs. They're submitted to alcohol. That's exactly what the world is bound down.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
I hope you don't find me too critical tonight. But Pentecost is submitted to smooth, polish. Don't tell me we don't believe in Joel Osteen. Help us, Lord, tonight. I love everybody, but I know what brought me out of sin. I know what brought me out of the world, brother. Amen. You hear me tonight? I'm reaching for somebody. They're submitted. They're submitted. They're submitted unto a curse. Things that are accursed of God. They've chosen this to be their king. They've chosen this to be their king. And they willingly submit themselves to the dominating power of accursed things in order to buy into the lie that they're going to find security in this. They're going to find shade in this. They're going to find an identity in this. Holy Ghost. In Judges chapter 9, the bramble said, if you anoint me king over you, then come and trust in my shadow. How ridiculous it would be for a fruitful tree of the forest to trust in the shadow of a shrub. It's not even possible for a large tree to find shade under a shrub. It's not possible for a stately oak to find shelter under a thorn bush. So why should a saint of God put their trust in the things of this world? You're not going to find shelter in sin. You're not going to find shade in rebellion. You're not going to find security in iniquity. The bramble is not going to benefit you, but instead will be pricked by the thorn. The bramble promises protection, but delivers pain. Romans 6 and 23 still says the wages of sin is death. James 1 and 15 said when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Romans 6 and 12 said let not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It's a curse. It's a curse. And yet they'll bow down. If you can provide shade, if you can provide identity, if you can provide security, I'll gladly submit to the dominating power of something that is a curse before God. You hear this preacher tonight? I prayed with tears tonight. I ain't gonna tell you when, but I have pushed back the plate to try to find God. And I have prayed for the young people in this service tonight. Brother Crosswhite, you know what bothers me tonight? We got too many young apostolic people that can juke and jive and go commit fornication. And the Bible said, don't let it be named one time among you. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. You better believe. If you repent, God will forgive you. Amen. But you will never repent if you don't feel this thing called guilt for your sin. We got young people tonight. They're sitting on these pews and they're committing fornication. They're watching all kind of ungodliness on YouTube. They're scrolling the web, surfing the web, looking at only God knows what. And mama and daddy don't want to have the pain to deal with it. They don't want to do the homework, to do any research, to find out what they can do in order to not let this to happen in their home. Oh, you hear me tonight? God loves you tonight. Amen. But fornication's got to go. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible said don't let it be named one time. Oh, this is apostolic Pentecost, and you know it. Some of these good elders, they remember these days when the elders used to get up and preach about this stuff. But you know what? You know why it's hard for some of us? Because some of us can listen to preaching all day long and become desensitized. Brother Martinez, you know what they do? They get on Holy Ghost radio, and if they don't like that one, they'll tune it off and turn somebody else on that'll fit their fancy. I'm telling you, we got a generation that is being totally desensitized. Sensitized because they're listening to the Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if you really want to make it as specific as possible, he said for the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Not just preaching, but cross preaching. That Lord knows we have a famine of today. Hear me tonight. I'm not trying to be critical. This ain't no way to get revivals. Amen. Amen. But I've got a mandate. Brother Brian, I went to Brookside Memorial in Houston, Texas. day before yesterday. When was it? Tuesday. Yeah. Whatever that was. I went to Brookside Memorial. I went to go see some graves. Oh, yeah. You hear me? Hear the burden of this young preacher tonight. I say young. They ain't that young. But hear the burden. Somebody that didn't grow up in this. And I'm trying my best that my babies not have my testimony. Because I want them to be second generation. I just want them to have the first generation zeal. That's what I want for my babies. And y'all see them and they don't worship. You better pray for them. Mom and daddy's doing the best we can. I want them to know what it is to shout under the power of God and not worry about bobby pins flying out. And they don't care what nobody thinks about them. And they don't have a dress too pretty. They ain't got shoes they can't worship God in. God forbid. Give us a revival of old time Pentecost. Give us a revival of old time Pentecost. I went to Brookside Memorial. I went to go see where, like them loving them or you didn't care for them. I'm just telling you, amen, these men were not perfect, but they blazed a trail. Amen, I went to go see the grave of V.A. Gidrose. Grass growing up around it. Nobody's been there to visit that grave. Before I could even take a picture, I had to go down and move all the dust and all the grass just so I could take a picture. I wanted to take that picture because there's a 90-year-old preacher that's from a little old backwoods town over in Louisiana that's still driving to preach revivals. He's 90 years old. Wow. Some of you probably know him if I call his name. Yeah. But he told me that V.A. Gidrose was an influence back in the early days in his life. Yeah. In the same cemetery, yeah. I went to go see O.R. Foss's grave. Yeah. You know, say what you want to say, but he preached hell every night. He preached the judgment of God with compassion. You could hear the burden in his voice. No, he wasn't an angry preacher, but he loved souls. You could hear it. It was a compassion. Amen. But I went to go see his grave. But then I went over to go see Oliver Foss's grave. O.R. Foss's daddy, the one who brought the gospel message to Louisiana. Amen. Brother Crosswhite mentioned about that preacher that baptizes great-great-grandmama. Amen. Robert LaFleur. Well, Oliver Foss was the man that baptized Robert LaFleur in 1915 over in Elton, Louisiana. And they had a Bible conference from December the 15th to January the 15th. Three services every single day, 7 days a week. They didn't even take a break. Somebody said that was a different time. Well, yeah, I guess it is when you have to chop wood and you have to burn wood to keep cool or keep warm. And it's a job just for all the babies to take a bath. Somebody said we can't have those kind of revivals today because we're too busy. There ain't no way in the world. Man wanted me to God talking about going to church. And brother, it was a chore for 9 of those kids to get ready to go to the house of God with no running water. And you mean to tell me we can't have revival today? You hear the burden of this preacher. I love everybody. But if we don't go back to the altar and get some of that old-fashioned commitment, we're going to be governed by the spirit of lukewarmness and the spirit of Laodicea that's destroying some of you here tonight. Laodicea is destroying some of you. Do you know what Laodicea is? It's that spirit that says, I don't care. I've been baptized in Jesus' name 20 years ago. I got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues 15 years ago. Laodicea's killing us. And you know what the spirit of Laodicea says? Let's just build. Let's just make a production when we don't have the power. And my Bible tells me that they that have a form of godliness, the scripture tells us, from such turn away. That's Bible doctrine. I love everybody. But that's what the scripture says. Bible said if they deny, if they have a form and don't have the power, your Bible says just the same Bible that they quoted and the same apostle that wrote, come out from among them and be ye separate. Help us, Holy Ghost. I love everybody. Brother Brian, I want there to be a revival. I really do. And I'm telling you, I don't care. Organization, I'm just an evangelist. I ain't nobody. I don't care. But I want there to be a revival. If we could go back and go stand in the ways again and see and ask for the old paths that blazed the trail of the gospel to this part of the country. I'm telling telling you, I pray for revival, Brother Martinez, in places that they used to have it. And they knew about the glory of God. But instead, they want to submit themselves to production. I love everybody, but God help us tonight. There's a balance between being frivolous and being careless and not being put together. There's a balance between that and all of this production. The bramble said, if in truth you anoint me to be king over you, then come and put your trust under my shadow. Isn't that what the world does? Isn't that what the transgender movement does? Some of y'all get so nervous. Don't be nervous. You cannot tell me that transgender spirit and attitude is trying to destroy the lives of some of these young people sitting right here tonight. We need a preacher to go after it with love and a burden and compassion. Brother Crosswhite, I salute you, sir. I salute you tonight. But it promises security and comfort and delivers pain. Instead of security, it's a prick. It's a curse. It's a curse. Homosexuality is a curse. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a curse for a king. It's a curse. I said homosexuality is a curse. But I want to tell you, promiscuous living is a curse. Brother Crossway, my heart bleeds because there's precious young people that sat in this service last night and they went out there and they got too close before they went to bed that night. They got too close, amen, and they think they can handle it. And it's a lifestyle that promises. Somebody may promise, well, protection. Somebody may promise security, amen, but they're willingly submitting themselves to the dominating power. I want to tell you right now, fornication is a curse. It's an accursed thing that our world is going crazy about, and we got too many of us that's afraid to say anything. I know these men saying something. Amen. But hear me tonight. Oh, if you can't feel, I'm preaching because you need to be convicted. You need to feel guilt. Some of you Pentecostal kids, amen, you don't know. You don't know what you're diving into when you flirt with that spirit in the world. Getting on TikTok, meeting people they ain't never met before in all their life.
It's a problem. Come on, preach it. Yes, sir.
And you know what? Some of you precious saints, you don't need to put so much pressure on these good men. You know how much pressure there is placed on the ministry? Because they know that you can get mad and you can go somewhere else. Whatever fits your fancy. It's like Baskin Robbins. Is it 31 flavors? Praise God. I love everybody. Hear the burden of my heart tonight. Hear the burden of my heart. Smoking dope is a curse. Selling dope is a curse. I want to tell a young person tonight, God has something better for you than smoking crack cocaine, selling drugs. I want to tell a young person, you hear this preacher, I love you tonight. God's got something better for you than selling your body for drugs. You hear this preacher tonight, God's got something better for you than selling your body because somebody promises you something. Saint of God, you know I'm telling the truth. God loves you. He's got something better than all of that junk. He's got something better than all of that trash. He's got something better. He's got something better. He's got something better. You know what that is? It's a curse. Heroin is a curse. Crystal meth is a curse. I know it's so commonly accepted, and it's marijuana is a curse, my friend. I said marijuana is a curse. I know it looks cool, but I want to tell you, God's got something better for you than marijuana. Yeah. Yeah. something better than marijuana. It ain't doing you no good. It ain't making you feel better. It ain't giving you no joy in your heart, no joy in your life. It's a curse for a king. Oh, but I'm afraid to withstand the pressure because the bramble says, if I do not submit to the dominating power of a curse, the bramble says fire comes out to devour the cedars of Lebanon. Well, you talk about trees that have a reputation, the cedars of Lebanon. Trees that have a reputation. Everybody's heard about the cedars of Lebanon. And if you can take down the cedars of Lebanon, Bramble, you must be able to do some stuff. The reason that some people submit to the dominating power of a curse is because of this fear tactic called intimidation. And the bramble intimidates, but the bramble cannot really back up on its promise. Because the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And so if the devil tells you anything, you need to stand on your feet and say, God, I thank you because I know that the devil just talked to me and he ain't doing nothing but lying to me. You can rejoice knowing that the exact opposite is going to take place if the bramble ever promises you anything. The opposite is going to happen if the devil talks. Because he's a liar. Intimidation. Y'all tired? Praise God. I got a burden tonight. I got a burden tonight. Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. You hear me? And I'm not preaching no grace. I'm preaching grace, but we ain't got there yet. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. That includes vape. That includes vape. It's a curse. It's a curse. Pornography is a curse. Pentecostal mamas and daddies, you need to go home and do your research about some of these phones. You can block more than you want to do your homework to find out. I love everybody, but I know this ain't going to get you preaching much, but it is what it is. Amen. You know what they're doing, Brother Brian? They're on YouTube, and they're looking at something that says Pentecost, and it's full of Hollywood, it's full of television, it's full of sports, and it's full of leggings, too. I'm telling you, a curse in our day is to convince Pentecost that they can dress up in pants and call it something else. I'm telling you, it's a curse, my friend. You don't look good in front of the mirror wearing some skin-tight clothes, showing off your body. Maybe it ain't for anybody else but somebody in your house. But the scripture said, for all that do so, not when, not where, it said for all that do so. Our abomination. I love everybody. But hear me tonight. I ain't got my burden quite. Selling drugs ain't no life in it. I mean, how many people you know that's died already and they were not even 40 years old? You know I'm telling the truth. They weren't even 40 years old. And they got caught up in that world. They got in the wrong thing. Holy Ghost is reaching. Jaden, I'm telling you, God moved on this young man last night. God's working on him, Sister Brian. God's got something better for this young man. You hear me? You're too precious to live and die the way the world wants you to live and die. Jaden, you're too precious to live and die the way the world dictates for you. You're too precious to live and die because of the way that the world wants to govern your life. Yeah. its curse. For a king. Tell me what I got to do. Gangs. Man, I remember we didn't even have gangs until I was on up in high school. Elder Metlin, y'all probably never had them. Never, not in the country. Gangs. It's a bramble. Promises protection and delivers pain. It's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. But people would just, okay, what I got to do? What I got to do? Throw money at a ball player that's making $30 million a year? Oh, I'll follow your scores. I'll give you my energy. I'll give you my time. I'll give you my talent. I'll give you everything. $30 million. $30 million for somebody that don't care about you, that you ain't more than likely may not ever meet in your entire life. And Brother Martinez, we got parents that worry about tithes and offerings. And yet they'll go, Brother Metlin, and keep up with a ball player that makes $30 to $40 to $50 million a year and got something negative to say about a man of God that don't make nothing. I want to tell you, this spirit of rebellion is a curse. It's a curse. You know what it is? You know what it is? It's not rebellion against the ministry. It's rebellion against the word of God is what it is. And yet, because the world says so, I'll keep my money from the house of God and I'll give it to somebody that don't care nothing about.
There you go.
It's a curse. If that ain't a curse, I don't know what it is. It's much like when the Lord rebuked the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, when he said, "Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down to Egypt, and have strengthened themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, God said, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of in the shadow of Egypt. Hey, there's no security in sin. There's no security in worldliness. There's no security in carnality. Woe to the rebellious children that borrow everything from Egypt.
My God.
I can preach on that a little while. I'm just going to say, I love everybody, but you know what? The charismatics ain't never been able to tell us how to have church. I don't understand why we have to borrow everything from them. I don't want to go to Egypt to find out how to worship a God that you can't find in Egypt. Anyway, I love everybody. I have wept for this service tonight. And so in the last portion of verse 15, the bramble said, if you don't trust in my shadow, then let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedar trees. You see, sin and wickedness seeks complete and total domination. And yet people gladly and willingly submit themselves to that dominating power of the curse. And so he says that if you do not trust in my small, weak shadow, then fire will come out to destroy you. Intimidation. I've already said that. Amen. But he said, if you don't do it, fire's going to come out. You cannot survive. I want to tell every saint of God, you can live and not be submitted to the cursed things in this world. You can actually live and not die. I know the world says you can't live without this and you're going to die without it. But I'm telling you, you can live without the curse, but you have to submit to the word of God. And so, in order to prove how much of a lie that really is, the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 6 and 7, that the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. They shall be utterly burned with fire. Those are the ones that trusted in the shadow of the bramble. They're the ones getting burned up. Not the ones that refused the curse. But the ones that submitted to the curse are the ones that got burned up. Isaiah 9 and 18, the Bible said, wickedness burneth as the fire, and it shall devour the briars and the thorns. And so in reality, the only fire associated with the bramble, the only fire associated with the bramble is the fire of judgment to destroy the ones that do trust in the shadow thereof. I'm pleading with somebody tonight. Don't trust in the shadows of sin. Don't get your sense of security from the wickedness of this world. And don't choose a curse to be your king. Hebrews 6 and 8 said, for that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And is nigh unto cursing. Whose end is to be burned. That which beareth thorns and briars. That which submits to the dominating power of the accursed. That's the ones that's rejected. That's the ones whose end is to be burned. But the next verse provides some hope. When it says, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. And so in closing tonight, I want to leave you with the anecdote. Even though much of humanity has given authority to accursed things and have chosen to submit themselves to it, the scripture talks about another curse for a king. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it said Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And it tells us how he did it. The Bible said, he being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It was a curse for a king. It was the ultimate curse for the ultimate king. And what was the crown for this king? The Bible said that they planted a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. And they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The king became a curse. So a curse does not have to be your king. The king became a curse so that we do not have to submit to the dominating forces of evil. The king became a curse so that we would not have to be governed by the things that are accursed. I plead with somebody tonight. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of the curse and place the crown upon the King of Kings tonight. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of Laodicean Pentecost. It's time for somebody to take the crown off crack cocaine and nicotine. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of pornography. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of fornication. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of transgender. Gender fluidity. It's time for somebody to take the crown off of things that are accursed.
Yes, indeed.
And place it upon the King of Kings. I don't want to be too negative tonight. That's the antidote.
Yes.
the king became a curse. I say this and I close. Pentecost, we better go back and get some sensitivity. Brother Crosswhite, I was preaching in a landmark apostolic church. A landmark church. I mean a landmark in conservative Pentecost right now. And we was there 4 months. And I mean, God filled some people with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was glorious. And I ain't going to say no numbers, but there was a bunch of them got baptized. I mean, a bunch of people got the Holy Ghost. And most of my ministry is what I preached last night. High, positive. But I was in prayer and I felt a spirit of conviction. And I felt to preach a conviction message. And there was an evangelist, a man who's pastoring now, but he was an evangelist. He was visiting that church. He evangelized 13 years over 45 years ago when he started. And then he went up and started a church, still pastoring, built a great church. But I was preaching conviction. And it was about like it is right now. And this man who evangelized over 13 years, 45 plus years ago. I called his name. Most of you probably know the man. When I got done preaching and I went over, this man said, "Brother Ballinger, if you had to preach that 40 years ago," he said, "they would have ran."
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yes, sir. I've seen it, brother. Right, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. You know why we don't run?
Yeah.
We're waiting for the beat of a drum. And I thank God I believe in it. Brother Brian, you know I believe in it. I bought him a drum.
Yeah.
Praise God. But we're waiting for the beat of a drum. We're waiting for that minor sixth to hit just right. But I plead with somebody tonight. If I could get the church to pull with me, I wouldn't have to stop and do this. Because I'm telling you, I know beyond a shadow of any doubt, God wants to save some people. There's some young people here tonight that needs to make some things right with God. There's some young people tonight that needs to be up here in this altar, and you need to kneel before God. You need to repent of your sin. God loves you. God cares about you. There's some precious young people tonight that all they know is the curse of the world. But I want to tell you tonight that God's got the power to break every generational curse that the enemy has placed upon your life. If you would get up out of that pew and come down to this altar and lift up your voice and pray. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody call on Jesus tonight. Somebody call on the Lord tonight. Glory to God. There's some young people here tonight. I'm talking about some Pentecostal young people that need to leave here. They need to leave here free in the Holy Ghost. They've been bound up for too long. They can't remember the last time they prayed. Pray through to the talking tongues. Oh, let's pray, everybody. Let's call on Jesus tonight. Let's let God break the chains of a curse.
Is there any Pentecostal mamas and daddies that want to pray for their own tonight? Some of our Pentecostal babies need prayer just as well as some of these that are not in the church tonight.